So we will read a few verses starting in verse number 1 of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. It says this, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Like an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I want us to concentrate on that last verse especially. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. So let me set the scene for this book, because as I said, this book is probably, as full of symbolism as the book of Revelation, and I know many people are often intimidated to read Revelation. They might even be more so intimidated to read this book. It is just not something that people turn to and say, yeah, I'm going to just read Song of Solomon, and it normally doesn't happen. This is a love story between Solomon, King Solomon, he was the son of David, and a woman called the Shulamite who ends up being his bride. And the reason that this is so powerful is that this is a picture of Christ's love for his bride, which is us. The church. The church is referred to as the bride of Christ. And if you open your eyes and you start thinking about it, you will see this kind of language, this marriage language, this language of love throughout much of the Bible. And once you start thinking about it from that point of view, you'll see it everywhere. You'll see it in so many different places, in so many different ways. Just a couple, you could probably think of some of them even yourselves without too much trouble. There's the marriage supper of the Lamb that is coming, right? We are essentially, all of history is marching towards a marriage. All of history is marching towards a marriage, because you go all the way to the end of Revelation, the last couple of chapters, there's a marriage supper that's happening because Christ will be united with his bride. He's coming back for a bride, and he is going to have us in union with him. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 2, he says, I've espoused you to one husband. I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. It's this husband terminology, it's this marriage talk, and it's throughout the entire Bible. And this 8th chapter, Song of Solomon, is one of those things where it is just a comparison between Christ's love in the church and Solomon and his bride, the Shulamite. So that's what this is. This is a comparison. So whenever we see he's called the beloved, that's Solomon. And then you might see in your headings, if you have a Bible that has little headings, you might see the beloved, you might see the Shulamite. You'll see that kind of, you'll see those kinds of things, and they go back and forth. And so in there, this is a part where they've declared their love for one another, and they're still not at the wedding. They still haven't become wed. But in this is where the Shulamite, which would be us, the church, we following? It's us, the church. She makes this statement. And this statement, because it's comparing her to us, is what we could say about Christ, what we could say about Jesus. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. What a statement. What an incredible declaration when we think about it. His banner over me was love. A banner in the Bible could be compared to a flag from nowadays. We have banners, but they kind of mean something a little different than they did back then. But a banner was essentially a flag. And usually a flag of a nation, or maybe it was the flag that could represent a family type of situation if they were in control of a large area, or a king. And the banner over us is love. Because she, the Shulamite, the bride, the church, is declaring that Christ's banner over us is love. And when we think about a flag, we think about, usually a flag isn't just thrown together. Usually there's some symbolism that's in a flag. Usually there's some meaning to the various things that you might see on it, the various colors, the various shapes, the various things. So for instance, our flag, we see right here 50 stars because we have 50 states. Right? It means something. We have 13 stripes on it because there was originally 13 colonies. And you could go on and on about the different aspects of the flag, but they all mean something. They're not there randomly. They usually represent who the country is. They make a statement about the country. They make a statement about whoever made that flag. In some way, it's a picture, it's a symbolic link to whoever it's representing. And it's the same with God's banner over us. It's the same as God's banner over us. And the Bible tells us that His banner over us is love. His banner, the thing that represents Him. If you want God represented as something, then you represent Him by His banner. His banner over us is love. And so He's telling us that this is the thing that symbolizes our God. Our God is symbolized by love. And it is a personal love. It is a love not just because there's all kinds of us and He died for us and He loves some more than others. His banner over us is love, and you could put your name in that position. Just as individual as the Shulamite is to Solomon, you could put your name in that place as well. His banner over you is love. Because that is who our God is. And He's telling us that we are loved by Him. He's telling us. Another thing that a flag will do, another thing that we will see in a flag is often a flag is planted in a place when that place is being claimed for a nation. You remember that picture? It's like you might not know it by its name, but you might remember it. There's these soldiers, and they're I can't remember if it is a statue or picture. I think whatever it is, it's that flags over Iwo Jima. You remember that? There's these several soldiers, and they're kind of like this, and they're planting a flag, and it's after they've captured and they've won a battle, and now they're planting the flag and saying, "This space is ours. This place is ours." And remember when we went to the moon? When we went to the moon, they were smart enough to put the flag, the American flag, right there on the moon. Right? Remember that? Really awesome. Because now we went there, we conquered this first. We're here and we're claiming it as ours. It's the moon. And yet our flag is up there. Maybe even to this day, I don't know. But it's claimed as ours. And you put a flag, and sometimes you go past the building and you might not know if it's a council or whatever, but there's a flag on it. Maybe it's a council of another country, and you see this flag waving, and you realize, oh, that is not, that is of a certain place. That is of a different country. That is the flag. That building is marked by that flag. You know it's different because they've claimed it as their own. They're showing, this is ours. And God is doing the same thing over the one He loves. And he's saying his banner over us is love, and he's claiming us as his own. His banner is being unfurled over us because he is claiming us as his. His banner over us is love, and he's saying, I'm marking them as my own. I'm claiming them as my own. I'm setting them apart as my own. They are mine. I'm staking them as mine. I am sealing them. And the Bible even says that in Ephesians. It says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the time of the redemption of the purchased possession. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He has put His claim on us. He has put His mark on us. He has put His banner over us. And His banner is love. And that's who our God is. And that is what He has done. It's claimed with certainty. And as flags are planted in battle, we can say that God has planted His flag over us, and so the battle is won. The battle is won. Let the enemies know that the flag, our flag, this person is claimed, this piece of land is claimed. Let the enemies see. Let them see that this is God's. You are God's. And He has put His banner over you, and He's saying, you are His. Let everyone know. Let the enemies know. Let all those who want to oppose realize you are God's. You are God's, and you are not the enemies. And he says, in the first part of that verse, he says, he brought me to the banqueting house. He brought us to the banqueting house. Also, just such a comforting thing, such a wonderful thing, because you bring somebody to a banqueting house, you're basically saying, I'll go out in public with this person. I'm not ashamed of that person. I'll take that person where everybody could see that they're with me. A banqueting house is not a private little dinner for two tucked away in a corner of some romantic little restaurant. A banqueting house is, I'll show everybody that I'm with them. I'm with you. God is saying He's with us, and He's not ashamed to show it. He's not ashamed to say that I love you, and I'm not ashamed to have you to let the world know that you're mine. I'll unfurl a banner over you. I'll take you to a public place. I'll let everybody see you and let everybody know that you are mine. And I know that this kind of language maybe makes some people uncomfortable. Does God really love me that much? Yeah, He really does. And that is emphasized throughout the rest of the Bible as well. Especially in the New Testament, you see the actions of Jesus, the words of the writers of the New Testament, just emphasizing it over and over again. He is not afraid to bring you to the banqueting house so that all can see that He loves you, and He loves you a lot. And just like a flag is often flown very high. You never see a flagpole, or you rarely might. Maybe you do, but you're rare. It's kind of rare. You don't see a flagpole that's just a little bit outside of a building. You never see a little tiny flagpole. You see a flagpole that's high. It's raised and it's large and for all to see. It's not something that's hidden. Maybe if it's in a building or it's on a little stand like this, but if it's outside, it's high for all to see. The flagpole is usually large and tall because they want as many people to see it as possible. And sometimes you go down a street and you see these massive flags that are flying in the air, 20 feet long, 10 feet long. People just proudly waving that flag so that it unfurls in the breeze. And this is the same thing with our God and His banner over us and His love for us. He's not ashamed to show it. It's not a shame to have everyone see it. And doesn't it remind you a little bit of how Jesus himself was raised on the cross? Doesn't it give you that picture of Jesus himself saying that I will go on the cross and I will be raised up? I will be raised up so that all can see, so that everybody who passes by will see, yes, there's someone on this cross. It's not a flagpole, but it does give that impression that there he is laying or nailed to the cross for us. And he's saying, this is my representation of love. Because that's his banner, and his banner is love, and he proved it by going to the cross, and he was raised up on the cross, and like that flagpole, showing everybody, I love them. I love you. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter because he died for us in all of our sins. He died for the worst sinner, and he died for the one who might be considered the best. By our worldly standards. He says, I'm dying for them. I'm going on the cross. I'm going to be lifted up. And I'm going to be raised up so that all could see my love for them. And it's that this time of year when we think about Jesus and the cross and what it means, and you could think that that is his banner over us. It is his banner of love, and he has demonstrated it, and he has showed us, and he has showed the world. It was not hidden. It was not private. It was as public as can be, raised on a hill, showing that he is not ashamed to demonstrate his love for us. And it tells us that there is no extent. There is no extent of things that he will not do. And the Bible emphasizes that too. It says that if God sent his only son to die for us, is there anything that he will not do for us? That banner that's over us, that flag, that statement of love, the extent of what he has done. He has come down from glory, became a man, went through all of those things. We sang that song today. The helpless babe, fullness of God and helpless babe. This is what he's done for us. He's demonstrated his love for us. And then when we go to him, we know he is not just a good, good father. He loves us incredibly. His banner over us is love. That's who we serve. This is who we serve. And we need to have if God will give us a greater revelation of his love for us, that will just deepen our love for him. Because we love him because he first loved us. That is what the Bible tells us. So we understand and we gain more of a love for him when we realize more of his love for us. There's another place in Exodus 17. We'll turn there. Exodus 17, and we're just going to read a couple of verses. Exodus 17, and we'll start with verse 15. This is a very famous place. You will probably remember. We won't read this all, but I'll set it up for you. This is the place where the Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites, and this is the part of the Bible where Moses was on top of a hill, and Joshua and Aaron were with him, and they were fighting the battle. And as long as Moses has his hands raised, they were winning the battle. And if his hands ever came down, then they started losing the battle. And so Joshua, Aaron and Hur? I think so. Yeah, the priests. They held up his hands. And so they eventually win the battle. And this is what Moses says afterwards. Because God says, write this down. Write this down for Joshua to see. In verse 15 it says this. And Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And what's so significant about here is this is one of those names, if you ever study the names of God, there's all kinds of names. Fran mentioned one, Jehovah Jireh. There's all these other names that are, you know, the Hebrew names of God, and this is one of them. If you go through one of those books and you find it, or you just look it up on the web, and just search for names of God, you'll see all these things, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. This is one of them, Jehovah Nissi. It is what this is, and it means the Lord is our banner. The Lord is my banner. He is, and what is His banner over us? His banner over us is love. It's who God is. His names identify characteristics of who He is. And His banner over us is love. And what Moses says is, I'm taking that banner. Yeah, I'm going to claim that for myself. I'm going to identify myself with God's banner. I'm going to put myself underneath that banner. I'm going to put myself in a place where everybody will know it is me. I'm going to voluntarily say the Lord is my banner. And that's what we have to do. We have to claim God as our standard. We have to claim God as the one that we want. The Lord is my banner. He is my Jehovah. He is my Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is who I want to be identified with. And it's so interesting that that Moses says this because God has fought a battle and won a battle for him at this time. It is in the context of God fighting for Moses that he brings this up, that he declares this, that he makes this statement. He says, I know that God is my standard. God is my banner. God is the symbol, the flag that I want to be under. He is the one who goes to war for me. He is the one who fights for me. He is the one who takes care of me. He is the one who protects me. And we must know that same thing, that God is the one who protects us. God is the one who takes care of us. And He does it because He loves us. Because His banner over us is love. And it brings a whole new light to so much of the destruction that happens in the Old Testament. Because you wonder, why did God wipe out all these nations, and why did God do this to all these other nations, and the Israelites are left alone, and there was no Holy Spirit that was in people like it is in us now, because Christ did that, and now the Holy Spirit dwells in us, is what the Bible tells us. Back then, the Holy Spirit didn't dwell in a person, but that's for another Sunday. But through all of that, God still has to protect His people. God protects His people, similar to way a father or a mother might protect their kids from harm. Similar to a way a loving husband might protect his wife from harm. And He just says that they are a threat, they are going to cause problems, and so I have to get them out of the way. I have to remove them. I have to take away the obstacles. I have to remove the obstacles to love. I have to remove all of that. And that's what God did in the Old Testament so often. These people who if left alone would often drag the Israelite nation into their sins, into their idolatry, into their idolatrous ways. And God many times just said, I have to get them out of the way. I have to remove them completely to protect my son's bride. To protect the one that will be pure for my son. And we see that in the context of war, Moses says, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is the one that I'm going to identify with. Even though the banner is love, and is a banner which says which is there for war and protection as well. God is the one who fights for us. And the Bible backs that up. It is God that fights for you. Do not be dismayed over this great army, for the battle is the Lord's and not yours. He is our standard. He is the one. He is the one who will fight for us. I'm going to read one more verse or set of verses for you. It's in Isaiah 59. And worship team, you could come on back up now. It's Isaiah 59. Let me see what verse it is. 19. Isaiah 59:19 says this. So shall they fear the Lord, the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And standard is another word for flag, another word for banner. He's going to raise up a flag against them. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy attacks and starts to oppress us and just closes in on our minds or our bodies or our situations, whether they're at work or at home or you're just trying to have a moment of peace in your house. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, and I hope you haven't had that happen, but many of us have, and I know you have, that the enemy comes in, you're just going about your business, and all of a sudden it seems like the waves are crashing in on us. The enemy has come in like a flood. The Bible says that God raises up His standard and says, hey, he's mine. She's mine. She's mine. And declares to the enemy, this one is mine. You're touching the one that I love. You're touching the one that I care so deeply about. You're touching the one that is my bride. Letting him know, don't mess. Don't mess with the one that I love. Don't mess with the one that I care about. Sometimes you see in old movies or sometimes you see this theme in movies that somebody will do something and they think they're just doing it randomly. Maybe it's something bad. Maybe it's something like they've the plot might go that they've stolen from somebody. And then all of a sudden they realize that they've stolen from somebody that's powerful and very, very mean. And they think, oh my gosh, I've just done what? When it was somebody that was no one, they were thinking, oh, okay, that's okay. They're going about their sinful ways. But now it's like, oh no, I've just committed this crime against somebody that's so powerful. What are they going to do to me? And this is the same kind of concept. God is saying, I'm going to raise up my standard. Don't come and mess with the ones that I'm in love with. Don't come and mess with my people. Don't come and mess with my bride. So he raises up his standard and says, enemy, these are my people. I've staked my claim on them, and I will protect them. He is a man of war, and he knows how to take care of the enemies, and he knows how to love us. This is who we get to voluntarily say, this is my God. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. He is my standard. And I want to stay as close to Him as possible. I don't want to stray far from Him because He knows how to take care of me. He knows how to take care of me even though I'm not sure what's coming. I'm not sure what's going on all the time. He knows how to take care of me. Because He is my banner. His banner over us is love. And it doesn't matter what you've done or all the things that you've done in your life. He went to the cross for us to prove His love and to show the world that this is true. His name be praised. Worship team, will you come and lead us in a final song?